This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How the value method prevents emotional hijacking during high-pressure conflict negotiations. A five-step system for staying clear-headed when conflict tries to take over. In short, emotional hijacking during conflict is not a weakness. It is a neurological event that strips away your clearest thinking at the exact moment you need it most. The value method gives you a five-step structure to stay grounded, listen well, and move toward resolution even when pressure is at its peak. When your stress response fires, you need a framework, not willpower. Value redirects your attention from emotional surge to purposeful action. Each step works in sequence. Value, accomplish, listen. Understand, engage. Definition: emotional hijacking conflict describes the neurological event during a high-pressure dispute where the brain stress response overrides rational thinking, causing reactive, uncontrolled behavior that escalates tension rather than resolving the disagreement at hand. You walk into a difficult conversation with the best of intentions. You have thought through your points. You have rehearsed your tone. And then, somewhere in the first few minutes, something shifts. A word lands wrong. A dismissive glance crosses the other person's face. Your chest tightens. Your thinking narrows. And before you have consciously decided anything, you're speaking from a place you did not mean to go. That is emotional hijacking in its purest form. Not anger, exactly. Something faster and less predictable. A neurological ambush that strips away your clearest thinking at the moment you need it most. I have watched it happen to skilled communicators, experienced managers, and intelligent professionals who knew better and still could not stop it in the moment. The problem is not a lack of good intentions. The problem is the absence of structure. In Say It Right Every Time, I introduce the value method in Chapter 7 as a five-step framework built specifically to give you that structure when pressure is at its highest. You can read the full context in Say It Right Every Time. What follows is the complete method, taught in full, so you can apply it from today. Why emotional flooding destroys conflict negotiations before they begin. Here is the truth of it: the rational part of your brain and the emotional alarm system in your brain do not process information at the same speed. Your amygdala, the threat detection center, fires first. It does not wait for context. It does not pause to consider whether the situation truly warrants alarm. It reacts, and it does so in milliseconds. Understanding what the amygdala hijack actually is and how it silently blocks team functioning matters here, because the same mechanism that shuts down collaborative thinking in group settings is the one that derails you in one-on-one negotiations. The physical symptoms are real: the tightening jaw, the shortened breath, the tunnel vision. These are not metaphors. They are signals that your brain has temporarily rerouted processing away from careful analysis and toward self-protection. Without a framework ready, most people do one of three things when this happens. They get loud, they go silent, or they capitulate, agreeing to something they do not mean just to escape the discomfort. None of these responses resolves the conflict. All three leave damage behind. A structured method does not eliminate the emotional response. It gives you something to do with it, something that moves the conversation forward instead of burning it down. The value method: how each step keeps you grounded under pressure. The value method is a five-step sequence I outline in Chapter 7 of Say It Right Every Time. Each letter maps to a deliberate action. Together, the steps interrupt the automatic reactive cycle and replace it with a controlled, purposeful response. Here is each one in full. Step 1. V. Value: clarify your unique worth. What it is. Before you can negotiate or resolve anything clearly, you need to know what you bring to the table. Value means getting clear on your specific contribution to the situation, not in a self-aggrandizing way, but as a grounding act. When your emotions spike, your sense of worth often drops with them. This step restores it. How it works. Number 1. Before the conversation or the moment pressure rises, write down three specific contributions you've made that are directly relevant to this conflict or negotiation. Number 2. Anchor yourself to facts, not feelings. Not I work hard, but I led the restructuring that reduced costs by 18%. Number 3. In the moment, when you feel the surge beginning, mentally return to one of these anchors. It steadies you. When to use it. In any conflict negotiation where your position or worth is being challenged, dismissed, or ignored. When not to use it. Do not use it as a weapon. Listing your accomplishments mid-argument to win a point is not the same as using it to ground yourself emotionally. Quick example. A project manager faces a budget meeting where her decisions are being publicly questioned. Instead of reacting defensively, she takes 3 seconds, recalls that her last 2 projects came in under budget, and speaks from that ground. Her voice stays level. Her argument stays clear. Eamon's note. I've learned that panic and self-doubt arrive together in high-pressure moments. Knowing your value before the conversation is not arrogance. It is preparation. Step 2. A. Accomplishments prove with evidence, not emotion. What it is. Accomplishments means replacing emotional assertions with concrete, quantified examples. When conflict escalates, people tend to argue in generalities. You never listen. This always happens. Generalities inflame. Specifics ground. How it works. Number 1. Identify the 1 or 2 concrete outcomes most relevant to your position in this conflict. Number 2. Frame them with numbers or observable facts wherever possible. Not I handled it well, but I resolved the client dispute within 48 hours, and they renewed their contract. Number 3. Present these not as weapons to silence the other person, but as shared reference points for the conversation. When to use it. When the other party is disputing your competence, your past decisions, or the legitimacy of your position. When not to use it. If the conflict is primarily about interpersonal trust or values rather than performance, a list of accomplishments can come across as deflection. Quick example. A team leader being challenged by a senior colleague stays measured and says, in the last quarter, our team resolved 14 escalations without losing a single account. I want to understand your concern, and I also want us to be working from the same facts. Eamon's note, evidence is not aggression. Stating what is real, clearly, and calmly, is one of the most de-escalating things you can do in a charged room. Step 3. L. Listen, understand the other party's needs first. What it is. This is a step most people skip entirely, and it is, without question, the most important one. When emotional hijacking is in play, both parties are often so focused on being heard that neither is actually listening. Listening, real listening, not waiting for your turn to speak, is what breaks that cycle. How it works. Number 1. After you've made your opening point, stop and ask a direct question. What is your main concern here? Number 2. Let the other person speak without interruption. Your only job during this time is to understand, not to prepare your counter-argument. Number 3. Summarize what you heard before you respond. So what I'm hearing is that your biggest concern is the timeline, not the budget. Is that right? When to use it? Always. In every conflict negotiation. Without exception, when not to use it. There's no situation where genuine listening makes things worse. If you think there is, that feeling is usually a sign that your amygdala is still running the show. Quick example. A director in a tense cross-department meeting stops mid-sentence and asks, before I respond, I want to make sure I understand your position. What is the outcome you are actually hoping for here? The room changes. Defenses lower. A real conversation becomes possible. Eamon's note. The best negotiators I have ever watched had one thing in common. They were not the fastest talkers. They were the most focused listeners. Every time. This is also where signs that emotional hijacking is already destroying team functioning in real time become visible. When nobody is listening and everyone is reacting, the negotiation is already lost. Step 4. Year. Understand, acknowledge their perspective before presenting yours. What it is. Understanding goes one step beyond listening. It means demonstrating that you have genuinely received what the other person said, that you can see the situation from their position, even if you do not agree with it. This is not capitulation. It is the bridge between their position and yours. How it works. Number 1. Use a direct acknowledgement. I can see why that would be frustrating given the context you are working in. Number 2. Name their concern accurately, using their words, not your interpretation of their words. Number 3. Only after this acknowledgement do you begin to present your own perspective. When to use it. Whenever the other party feels unheard, dismissed, or attacked, which in most high-pressure conflict negotiations is frequently. When not to use it. Do not perform understanding you do not feel. Empty agreement corrodes trust faster than direct disagreement. If you genuinely cannot see their perspective yet, say so honestly. I am working to understand your position. Help me see it more clearly. Quick example. a negotiator says, "I hear that you feel the original agreement was not honored. That would be a serious concern for anyone in your position. I want to address that directly." The other party visibly settles. The conversation moves forward. Eamon's note: acknowledgement costs nothing and gains everything. I've watched a single well-placed "I understand why that matters" to you dissolve 20 minutes of circular argument in under 10 seconds. Understanding how the amygdala hijack specifically sabotages feedback conversations and defensive reactions helps explain why the step works so powerfully when a person feels understood. The nervous system stops treating the conversation as a threat. Step 5. E. Engage, collaborate toward a win-win solution. What it is: engage is where resolution actually happens, not through force, not through capitulation, but through the deliberate search for a solution that serves both parties. This step is only possible because the previous four have lowered the emotional temperature enough for real collaboration to begin. How it works: Number 1. Frame your next move as a shared problem. What would a solution look like that works for both of us? Number 2. Offer options rather than ultimatums. Ultimatums close doors. Options open them. Number 3. Agree on a specific next step before leaving the conversation, even if full resolution is not yet reached. When to use it: at the end of every conflict negotiation, once both parties have been heard and acknowledged. When not to use it: do not try to force engagement before the earlier steps are complete. If the other party is still in fight or flight, collaboration feels like a trap to them. Do the listening and understanding work first. Quick example: after a tense budget dispute, a manager says, "Given everything we've both laid out, what if we piloted the revised structure for one quarter and reviewed the numbers together? That way we both have visibility on the outcome." Agreement follows. Eamon's note: the goal is never to win a conflict negotiation. The goal is to resolve it in a way that preserves the working relationship. Win-win is not a soft outcome. It is the durable one. Choosing the right moment to apply value. The value method is not a script you deliver from start to finish in one continuous speech. It is a sequence of internal orientations and external actions that you move through as the conversation unfolds. Knowing when to apply each step matters as much as knowing the steps themselves. The table below gives you a quick reference guide for reading the room and responding with the right step, situation, value step to reach for. You feel your confidence or worth being challenged V. Return to your specific contribution. The other party disputes your past decisions or track record A. Anchor the conversation in quantified facts. The other party keeps talking, and you are not sure you understand their real concern L. Stop and ask, then summarize. The other party seems defensive, dismissed, or unheard you. Acknowledge before you respond. Both parties have been heard, and the emotional temperature has dropped E. Invite shared problem solving. The conversation is circular and escalating. Return to L. Listen again before anything else. For situations where the conflict involves broader team breakdown, the deal method for resolving conflicts that are fracturing team synergy works in complement with value, handling the structural dimension of team disputes while value handles your emotional regulation within them. Where good people go wrong with emotional control frameworks. Let me tell you something I learned the hard way. A framework in your head is not the same as a framework in your hands. Most people read a method, nod with recognition, and then completely abandon it the moment the pressure rises. Here is where the breakdown happens, and what to do instead. The mistake: trying to remember the steps mid-crisis, when your amygdala is already firing. Why it happens: you have not practiced the sequence at low stakes, so it is not yet automatic. What to do instead: run through the value sequence in a low-pressure conversation this week, deliberately and consciously, before you need it in a high-pressure one. The mistake: skipping straight to engage without doing the L and U work first. Why it happens: engaging feels productive, listening feels passive, but under emotional pressure, listening is the most active thing you can do. What to do instead: make L your default reset point. When a conflict negotiation stalls or escalates, return to listening before anything else. The mistake: treating "you understand" as agreement. Why it happens: acknowledging someone's perspective feels like conceding ground, especially when you're already feeling defensive. What to do instead: practice this script. I can see why that matters to you. Here is my perspective. Acknowledgement and disagreement can coexist in the same breath. The core framework for staying calm when feedback triggers defensiveness builds exactly the same kind of muscle, that value requires the ability to hold your ground emotionally while remaining open to the other person's reality. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling books 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Building fluency with value over 6 to 8 weeks. In Chapter 12 of Say It Right Every Time, I lay out a progression principle that applies directly here. Move from low stakes to high stakes, not the other way around. You do not build emotional control by practicing in crisis. You build it in calm, so that it holds during the storm. Here is a realistic 6-week approach. Weeks 1 and 2. Apply V and R only. Before every significant conversation this week, identify your relevant contribution V and one concrete supporting fact R. Do this in writing, even just 3 lines in a notebook. Weeks 3 and 4. Adele. After every conversation, where tension is even mildly present, ask yourself, did I summarize their position back to them before I responded? If not, what would I have said? Weeks 5 and 6. Add U and E. Practice the full sequence in at least 2 real conversations each week, including at least one where the stakes are genuinely uncomfortable. Review what happened. What held? What slipped? This approach mirrors the compound effect principle from Chapter 12 of Say It Right Every Time Small. Consistent practice over time creates a kind of structural change that transforms how you show up under pressure. 1% better every week, not a dramatic transformation in a single session. For wider, team-level application of this principle, why team synergy breaks down during high-pressure projects and how to de-escalate team conflict without destroying synergy both show how individual emotional regulation, built to practice like this, compounds across an entire group. The moment that separates skilled negotiators from everyone else. There is a moment in every difficult negotiation. The air thickens. Someone says something that lands like a stone. The emotional hijacking conflict impulse fires, and you feel the pull toward reaction. This much I know for certain: the people who handle that moment best are not naturally calmer than the rest of us. They have simply practiced a system until the system became instinct. The value method exists for exactly that moment. Not as a clever intellectual structure, but as a set of actions you can reach for when pressure strips away everything else. Value your contribution. Anchor it in evidence. Listen before you respond. Acknowledge before you assert. And then, only then, engage toward a resolution that both people can carry forward. That is the sequence. That is the practice. And over time, that is what emotional control in conflict negotiations actually looks like. Frequently asked questions. What is emotional hijacking in conflict negotiations? Emotional hijacking in conflict negotiations happens when your brain triggers a fight-or-flight stress response before your rational mind can engage. It clouds your judgment, narrows your thinking, and causes reactive behavior that escalates tension rather than resolving the underlying disagreement. How does the value method prevent emotional hijacking conflict? The value method gives you a structured 5-step sequence to follow the moment pressure rises. Each step redirects your attention away from the emotional surge and toward purposeful action, so your thinking stays clear and your responses stay controlled even when the conversation gets hard. When should you use the value method in a conflict? Use it whenever you sense your emotional temperature rising in a high-stakes discussion. It works best before you respond, not after. The method is especially effective in salary negotiations, team disputes, performance conversations, and any situation where the outcome matters and feelings are running high. Can the value method work if the other person is also emotionally hijacked? Yes, when you stay regulated and follow the method, you create the conditions for the other person to de-escalate too. Emotional contagion works in both directions. Your calm posture, deliberate listening, and composed question signal safety to their nervous system, which lowers the overall emotional temperature of the room. How long does it take to get fluent with the value method? Most people begin to feel the structure working within 2 to 3 weeks of deliberate practice. Full fluency, where each step becomes an automatic response under real pressure, typically takes 6 to 8 weeks of consistent low-stakes practice before applying it in high-stakes conflict situations. What is the difference between emotional hijacking and simply feeling angry? Anger is a feeling, you can still think through. Emotional hijacking is when that feeling takes full control of your response before rational thought can intervene. You say things you regret, miss what the other person is actually telling you, and often make the conflict worse without realizing it in the moment. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.